Welcome to the East Surrey Bump to Birth podcast, hosted by myself, Emma, and my wonderful friend, Becca. This podcast is dedicated to parents-to-be and new families in the East Surrey area, providing a wealth of knowledge and support through the exciting journey of pregnancy and birth.
Join us as we discuss everything from prenatal care and childbirth education to navigating the challenges of life with a new baby. We'll be joined by guest expert speakers, including midwives, doulas, breastfeeding experts, nutritionists, and more, who will share their insights and expertise to help you make informed decisions and feel confident in your choices.
Whether you're a first-time parent or a seasoned pro, the East Surrey Bump to Birth podcast has something for everyone. With a focus on empowering parents, we will help you feel calm, confident, and supported through your pregnancy and birth journey. So tune in and get ready to be inspired. Hi, Becca.
Hi, Emma. How's it going?
Not too bad, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, over the half-term madness. I don't know how yours was, but trying to keep kids occupied during half-term is just, can be a bit of a nightmare, can't it?
Mine went on their tablets and they were happy and I was left alone. It was peaceful and lovely.
I think Hey Dougie must have been on repeat about 100 times a day when we were during half-term. But very excitingly, we are joined by someone today.
We have a guest.
We do. So, the lovely Lindsay, who we have here.
Hi there.
So, she is going to talk about today independent midwifery.
Yeah.
So, we're going to let Lindsay take it away and let you introduce yourself and tell us what listeners who you are.
Yeah. Thanks. So I'm Lindsay. I'm an independent midwife based in Surrey and cover kind of all the surrounding areas. Mm-hmm. I am fortunate enough to work in a lovely little team of other independent midwives as well that are kind of all across the southeast, right up to the coasts. Lovely. And we support women and their families outside of the NHS. So we can either work collaboratively with the NHS and work alongside and provide extra support on top of that, or have completely independent care at home. We support a lot of home births. We do support women in hospital as well, but our role kind of differs slightly when we're supporting in hospitals.
I was going to say, I imagine that's a slightly different
process.
Dynamic.
So our role in hospital-based support kind of turns more into an advocacy and support role for the families,
right?
Okay. But with a clinical eye at the same time, because obviously we have that background still. It's more to do with insurance, because obviously when you have conflicting insurance companies kind of working together, it's, well, who's the lead and who's not, so
responsibility ultimately.
Exactly. And if you're choosing an NHS setting, then the NHS is essentially the lead in your care, but we're there to work alongside them and collaborate with them and support your needs and wishes as you go through that process.
How does it work with the actual, when the lady's giving birth? Are you allowed to actually deliver the baby if they're in hospital, or do you have to hand it over to the midwife who's there? How does it work with the actual birth?
We have to hand it over because, again, they're clinically in charge. So as much as we are insured to support hospital births, it's more from an advocacy and support role. But practically wise, because of the insurance and stuff the NHS being clinically in charge of your care, then they then take the lead. But sometimes that's quite nice as well, because we can fully focus
on supporting
mum and partner
and
just being there solely for them. So sometimes that's quite a nice route round.
It's quite reassuring, isn't it, for the parents? Because if you know you're there rooting for them, supporting them and acting as their voice if you need to be, it almost gives them a confidence boost to say, we're not on our own here, we've actually got someone with us supporting us.
That continuity of somebody that knows them and knows them.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So what would the big differences be sort of in pregnancy, more in birth at the moment, in going down the traditional sort of, you've gone to your GP and booked on with your local NHS midwife, or going down the route of independent?
So there's a couple of different ways you can work together. So I always advise my clients to book with their local NHS anyway, just because you're entitled to have your scans with them. And have an initial booking appointment just so that you're on the system. Just because if ever there's a need that we do need some extra input for any reason, they're aware. And we're not just all of a sudden throwing a strange person at them that they didn't even know was in the area. We're then expecting to all of a sudden provide care for. And then all of the midwifery appointments themselves are held in the comfort of your own home.
Oh, that sounds lovely.
We work daytimes, evenings, weekends. Really, we work around when work's best for you and your partners. And I think the other big difference is time. So we've got plenty of time just to sit and chat through things. And really just build that confidence in one another and get to know one another so that we can work together as a team.
All of a sudden, our own midwife cheerleader.
Absolutely.
Without the confines of a 10, 15 minute appointment time slot that...
And our appointments are normally, I would say, at least an hour, but I'm a bit of a chatter, so... I'm rarely out of an appointment within about 2 hours.
Wow. Don't get there, buddy.
Yeah, but it's nice. And, you know, we sit and have a cuppa together. Awesome. And it's just time to talk through everything and kind of look at any worries or concerns that parents-to-be might have. And just really give them that nurturing support that they deserve.
That real one-to-one time and... for them to sort of express any anxieties, concerns, what their birth wishes are, and actually have time to chat about that rather than being, like Emma says, rushed for a 10-minute appointment.
Yeah, and it's not a tick box exercise, which is really hard, and I really feel for, you know, I come from an NHS background, so I know that side of things as well. And it is really hard when you're like, you get told by one side you must do this, this, and this in this time frame. But then you also want to provide the other care that you just don't have the time for.
Especially if you've got a busy day and they've got so many appointments. There's only so many hours in the day, so many midwives.
Always full. And then you don't really get time to have those balanced discussions. But being able to do it at home in a much more relaxed time frame, and then actually you can give people time to process information. Go and have a look at it. It's not for me to make decisions for you, but I will provide you with all of the information so that you can go and look at different evidence and different people's opinions and then make that informed decision that's right for you.
Informed decisions.
And
when you do the, obviously, appointments, I'm guessing you do everything they would if they was to go to, so like your blood tests, your blood pressure, all those sorts of things you would do it in their home.
Yeah, so we can arrange to do blood tests at home. If we're running them through the NHS, so the NHS have got them on their system, then we can arrange with the local units to go and pick up a kit. Some people still might pop into the labs just to have them done, just because sometimes that's a quicker process. But everything else, blood pressure, urine dipsticks, listening into baby, we do all of that at home. And it's just a nice environment to be able to do that, and you can involve the whole family as well. So I quite often, you know, the pinards. Actually been teaching one of my little toddler mates who's going to be a big brother soon. He's really into the pinard. Which is really, really sweet. So being able to get the whole family involved in there as well. And also building that relationship, because, you know, sometimes also, particularly when you're at home births, if any of the siblings do wake up, you don't want them coming down to a room full of strangers that they've never met.
No, that's very true.
That can feel really overwhelming and really quite scary. So being able to say hi a few times, it's me. I'm going to be coming in the middle of the night and you're probably going to wake up and might see me. it's a really nice bonding process from that side of things as well.
The whole family being involved.
Yeah.
In the new member of the family growing, not it just being this magical, mystical thing that happens. Mummy just goes to the hospital and
the tummy grows and eventually there's a baby, they kind of are more involved in that process.
It gets their head around a bit more, doesn't it, as well?
Yeah, it really does. And the other nice side for me as well is that I sometimes take my dogs with me, so depending on my clients how they are. So one of them actually at the moment, so I have a therapy dog apparently, so they come with me to our antenatal appointments. But that's quite sweet, because as well, in what other job could you possibly end up doing that?
And I guess if there are older siblings, they must love it. They love dogs.
Absolutely.
Yes, I get to see the dog again as well. Yeah. You know, it's nice for the other kids, I suppose.
Yeah.
And in terms of when people can come to you, is there sort of like, can they come to you at any time? Can they come to you, beginning, middle, near, close to the end? What's sort of like your recommendation for people to come in?
Absolutely. I mean, obviously, we get a longer time together and more time to build that kind of partnership if you come earlier. So when people tend to book early, it tends to be around the 6 to 8 week mark.
When they
want a bit of guidance as into how do I do this, how do we access this, how are we going to navigate this bit, with a lot of kind of early questions. But actually you can come really at any stage, but ideally, a few weeks before birth,
at least, just
to get to know one another, because that's the whole point in working together, in the way that we work together, is to have that knowing of each other. You know, there's subtle things that you notice when you get to know somebody, particularly when they're in labour. They do a slight movement and you think, oh, I've not seen you do that before, but it makes you think, oh, okay, what's happening?
That's a good question.
And you kind of think, oh, okay, I think we're going here now.
Okay.
And it's really interesting, but you don't always get that when you've got the shorter appointments or you haven't had a lot of time.
Makes sense.
To kind of get to know one another. Yeah. And then they also get to know me. I don't use my midwife voice very often. But when I do, they then know it's for a reason, and it's not just because I'm telling them to do something for the sake of it. I'm saying we need to do this now.
You're stern sort of,
for a reason. And that doesn't happen often at all.
No.
But again, it's that process of getting to know one another. And
because then they think, oh, I haven't heard her speak like that before. She must be business.
I'm listening.
Yeah, exactly.
Real continuity of care that you won't get otherwise. Even within the NHS, you have your sort of named midwife in the community during your antenatal appointments. But I certainly, with both of my pregnancies, probably saw 3 or 4 different midwives on rotation through those appointments because of sickness, annual leave, we're all at the...
I don't think I had the same one for my birth as I did throughout my...
If you're going to the hospital, you then have a whole different set of midwives that you're not going to have met before, or even if you're under the home birth team. I know they try and get that women have met most of the team, but you're still not sort of guaranteed to... Maybe it's someone you've met before, but you're not going to have that relationship and bond that you get to foster.
And again, it's seeing other things that you might not necessarily see. Like, it's really easy to put a mask on when you're going into a 10-minute appointment in a clinic and maybe just think, you know what, I just need to get through this. But really, there's stuff there that you need to be talking about. And I think you see that a lot more as well when you get to build that relationship. You can kind of pick up on little things, like little anxieties that might be brewing that you can then kind of try and relieve and just talk through, you know, come on, what's going on? I can help you with this.
Yeah.
Let's see what we can do to help,
that's help with safe this. Space for them. And also a safe face when you then turn up. We talk so much about the importance of feeling safe when you give birth. Both hitting a birth, and that's so much of what we talk about. Having that familiar face that you've met multiple times turning up at your door in your moment of need almost must just be like a big warm hug yes, she's here.
It's that big oxytocin boost, isn't it? Because we often talk about oxytocin and what how to increase it, and obviously having someone that gives you, like you say, insurance and love and, you know, safeness is going to be a massive oxytocin boost for them when you walk through the door.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, a lot of benefits there.
And it's really nice. And it makes our job easier as well, because we get to know the women and their families.
Yeah.
And it just makes it so much easier and nicer for us, because you can spot changes and you can see differences in behaviour and think, is this something we need to be working on a little bit?
And you know what someone's normal demeanour is as it slowly changes through the different stages of labour. This is normally a really chatty, bubbly person who's now gone quite quiet and isn't really, you know, that's not their normal.
Yeah.
Or the other way around, I suppose, if they're normally really quiet and you arrive and they're really quiet, you know, that's just kind of them. You can make a much more
person-based. And just body language, general body language as well, isn't it? Like, if you know someone really well and you can pick up on, what's that expression all about? Or what's that noise? Or, they're acting a bit, like you say, different. And you can pick that up really well as well, can't you?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, that's lovely. It must be so nice as well, because when you build that rapport with a family, and when baby's there, it just must be such a rush for you because you've built that connection, and then to see baby must be quite, not overwhelming, is that the right word? Yeah. Or just a rush of...
It's a rush of oxytocin for us as well, I think, sometimes. Yeah. And it is amazing to be able to support through the journeys. My one big thing is dads. If dads cry, that's it.
Oh, that's it,
I'm a goner. I'm really sorry, but I'm just going to have a cry with you now.
Well, imagine this kind of midwifery must feel much more like what you pictured midwifery to be like as a sort of newbie going into it, starting your training. I feel like what you do is what everyone imagines being a midwife is compared to the realities of
wards. I think sometimes, well, particularly when I trained, which was a while ago now, I think we were definitely shielded in some ways from the reality of it. You know, obviously we did our practical placements and we got to see some of the sides to the reality of being qualified, but it's not the same as when you're out there and you're in it. And of course, when you're in uni, it's all about being with women.
Yeah.
This is what a midwife is. It's what a midwife stands for.
Mm.
And the reality of it is that you just don't get that time to kind of provide that level of care that you really want to provide.
And that's, again, it's not their fault, because it's the system.
They've all gone into it.
Of course, because of demands and because of, you know, the workload and everything, they just can't physically do it, can they? It's not they don't want to, it's because they can't physically do it.
You're able to move outside of that system and walk down independent midwifery route for your care, you're going to get a midwife doing what they love, ultimately.
Yeah, definitely. And so we generally work in pairs, so depending where your area is. So a bit similar to the NHS, I kind of guess, where you get two midwives for your birth. We generally pick our second midwives that we feel are going to be aligned to that client as well. And then you get to meet them during one of our antenatal appointments. And it's also really good because, just in case, you know, if ever I'm sick, then the second midwife can then kind of step in and just do the odd appointment if they need to. And things like that. So again, that's a really nice side of it, and being able to get to meet another member of the team. But also know that you're still getting the same level of care, if not better. for your home birth and the support. We do work with doulas as well. It just depends on the situation as to whether we then still have a second midwife or not. Mm-hmm. I generally do, but that's just because that's one of my preferences. But if a client's not so comfortable with that, then we talk that through.
Go through the pros and cons,
etc. And then we make that plan.
That's wonderful. Shall we have a touch on home birth a little bit then, maybe?
Yes, and then I have questions about postpartum, so don't let me forget.
I'll remind you.
Assuming a lot of the births that you are involved in are majority home births, would that be fair to say?
That would be very fair,
yeah.
So I our little group. We support women in their choices. We do support out of guidance choices as well. Again, going through pros, cons, benefits, disadvantages, things like that.
And I suppose to say they call you up and say, right, got into labour, I think this is early labour, then obviously you and your colleague midwife would then turn up, assess the situation, see where they are.
So we kind of make a plan on the phone initially and say, do you feel like you'd like me to come now? Would you want to wait a bit? Because everybody feels very different in those early stages. Some people want a bit more support in the early stages, in which case I'm like, absolutely, I'll be on my way. Don't necessarily call my second midwife at that point. And then we head on over, see what's going on, and then make a plan kind of from there. But really, I'm just there just for that extra little added support, really. I'm going to let you do your thing and work together with your baby to do what you need to do. I'm just there to provide that extra little bit of reassurance. I don't really need to do anything at that point.
It's encouraging physiological birth, isn't it? Really, it's trusting the woman, trusting her body, and going back to a time where let's put a bit more trust in that way of birth.
Absolutely.
And just letting mum get on with it rather than interventions and monitoring every minute and just encouraging that physiological
and
birth.
And sometimes I get there and it might be a case of, you know, we might do a hypnobirthing script or we might, I might do a relaxation massage. Other times I pop in, say hello, we do a little check over and they're like, I think we'll feel all right. And I might pop out for a coffee down the road and say, okay, I'm going to check back in an hour. We'll see how we're doing then. And it's really nice to be able to have that flexibility to be able to do that and not just be like, well, we can't possibly stay with you at this stage because, you know.
I'm nearby if you need me. Give me a call and back on. Come.
And that, again, is reassurance and confidence for parents, isn't it? Because I think they know that you're, you may not be there, you may be up the road. They know, okay, I can trust myself. And it's almost like, a little oxytocin boost going, I know my support is there to come back when I need it. So they're not going into fright or flight mode, or it's not like they've been left in a room and said, oh, we might come back in an hour, just whatever. And you think, oh, God, what if something happens? They know you're there.
Because sometimes it is that you don't want to feel like you're watching a kettle boil. So it just depends. Sometimes I huddle in a corner with a book or something like it's just really nice and chilled. And you know, sometimes we go out for dinner together, we've done that before now, which has been really nearly lame, and she's like, I really fancy this, and we were like, well, come on then, let's go.
Why not?
Brilliant. So
I love that. Me too. So we've never even thought about this.
And then if circumstances change and during labour, you, between you and the family, the decision is made that actually home birth isn't the right route for that birth. What happens then?
So depending on the situation, it'll depend on how we then transfer. If it's an emergency, then we're going to call an ambulance and go by ambulance. I go with the clients and stay with them. So they've still got me throughout, just for that added support and reassurance, because obviously that can be, when your plans change, that can be really tricky, and it can be really hard on the mindset as well. So being able to keep that mindset in the right place and just know that they're making the right decisions for them, and just reminding them of that, that actually we're doing this because of. And so that they know that they've made the decision that's best for them.
And I guess that's what makes a birth feel positive when you look back, when you think that there was, that you're there telling them, right, this is why we're going in, it's the right thing to do. That's going to make the experience feel more positive overall than if it was the understanding, rather than afterwards thinking, I had no clue why that happened, I was rushed off. And that's what a lot of trauma is, the not knowing why something happened. And
Yeah. So looking back and knowing you were there with them to say, look, this is right, we're doing the right thing, this is why we're doing it.
That's and the discussions are so important, and being able to say to somebody, look, do you understand why we're recommending this? Mm-hmm. Because again, it's still a recommendation.
Yeah.
Of course. But generally speaking, I tend to find that the clients, when we work together, because we've built that trust in one another, they know that we're not just going to transfer for no reason.
Yeah, they know and that you know what their preferences are. They trust you in that.
Absolutely.
And you know that there's a good reason that you've suggested that to them, and they're going to have trust in that. Yeah.
What was that continuity of care again of postpartum? Mm-hmm. They can then talk back through, like, we all know that when you have a baby afterwards, your memory of what happened is all over the place. The order of events, the amount of time is all so lost. To actually be able to sit down with someone that was there, that understood that was happening, and kind of do that debrief without, I know you can do that.
Yeah.
Sorry, you can book the birth reflections, appointments and things, but that's still not going to be somebody that was there in the person. Like, you were there within the flesh and help them kind of decode exactly. No matter how their birth went, even if it went really straightforward and simply at home with nothing untoward or unexpected, you still come out being like, wow, what? Who am I? What happened? Where did this baby come from?
Yeah.
To have someone to really talk that through must
be
really nice, actually.
And again, that's a really important process as well, particularly if things do take a bit of a twist. And it is better when you are there to be in the situation, because otherwise you've got your version, which you're kind of like, well, hang on, because I was on a bit of a high because of this and this, and do I really remember that the way that it was? But then you've also got somebody that's then trying to unpick all of that, but then has just got notes to go by.
Yeah, they're just reading another person's notes.
They're not speaking to the actual person or the actual. Whereas you can say, I was with you. It may have felt like that, but trust me, this is what happened. This is. You can give them that assurance when it comes to.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've recently had that with a client that I supported in a hospital birth. Bless her, the gas and air went very well.
Is she floating?
Apparently I was rapping at one stage.
Oh, wow.
I was telling her something.
Do you have secret talent?
apparently I do. She said it was really cool. She said, because I just felt in my head he was telling me something and really reassuring me, but it was coming out in a rap and I was bopping to it.
Yes. I think I was a bit like that.
But then there were kind of bits after where there were just pockets where she's like, I just can't work out what happens in this kind of time frame and what happened here. So it was really good to be able to say, well, actually, this is what happened and this is what, because I keep notes still as well. So that you've got a birth story also to refer back to, and that I can refer back to, because you know, my memory is not what it was.
And there's so much that happens, especially depending on how long the labour is. You're not going to remember every single thing, you know, because it's going to be a long process, you know.
That's
so true, because I know with both of my children, I think back to their births, and there's so many bits that don't add up together in terms of time, and it's all muddled up, and there's bits I do remember, bits I don't remember.
Yeah.
No idea about time frames. Even now, I look back and think, it's not a complete story from start to finish that I can remember.
I ordered all of my notes because you can request them, and there is, I kind of went through them all, and I was like, oh, gosh, there is a time period where they've done their notes and it's all timed and dated inside the things. I'm like, my God, there was an hour and a half there. I would have absolutely sworn blind that within the space of 10 minutes these things would happen. Yeah. I'm like, what happens?
Makes no sense. For me, certain bits were like really quick, but like you say, they were like 2-3 hours. Yeah. I thought that seemed like 10 minutes to me. And then my husband would go, no.
Yeah, it wasn't 10 minutes.
I was asleep in the bathtub. No, it definitely wasn't 10 minutes.
And the other thing that's really nice is because we can write our notes as birth, so obviously we've got the clinical important stuff that needs to be in there. But we can add the more personal touches as well. So even from our home births, like before Christmas, one of the dads and I may have had a slight mishap with the hose. right at transition. So mum's in transition, facing away from us, luckily. And Dad and I are currently flooding the walls and the TV because neither of us can find the end of the hose that flipped out the wall. So that was, that's in the notes because it's part of their story.
Yeah.
It's part of what Dad was doing when mum was there actually going, why is nobody holding my hand at this point?
He's going to be here very shortly. What are you doing, breathing?
Thinking,
yeah.
Things everywhere. I must have looked around afterwards. I thought,
yeah, oopsie, I hope that nice wallpaper's gonna dry out.
Otherwise, that's a
job
for Dad to do the next day. But it's so nice because I suppose for you as well, you can look back at these as well sometimes. It's really lovely little moments like that that make the job as well, isn't it? You know, those nice personal moments.
Imagine you must get repeat clients back as well for subsequent babies. So having those familiar faces and stories, but also the funny anecdotes and the connection from before.
Absolutely. And it's so lovely. And again, each journey and each birth is so different as well. So again, it's a new experience, but just with people that you know, which is lovely.
It's even better, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, amazing.
So after baby's born, what does happen with the postnatal care?
So if it's a home birth, we're generally there for, well, as long as the family needs us before we go home. Mm-hmm. And then we start visits the very next day, if not later on the same day as birth, depending on timings and things. Yeah. It really all depends on individual families. So some need a bit more intense support in those first few days. Mm-hmm. So we kind of negotiate and chat through. We have an initial idea of our plans kind of beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
But we know that those might change.
Yeah.
So if you need a visit every day, we'll do a visit every day.
Yeah.
We can do things like the NIPE check, so we can either get that arranged through the NHS. Quite often you do get invited in for that.
Mm-hmm.
Or we can go down a private route and I arrange for one of my colleagues to come and do the NIPE check, just because I'm not trained to do that.
Just in case anyone doesn't know what that is, what is a NIPE check?
That's the newborn infant physical examination check that's done within 72 hours of birth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's done by a trained professional. And it's basically a good top-to-toe of baby. They check the eye reflexes, hips, listen to the heart. Just a more in-depth check over.
So they can either, you would help with an arrangement, they can either just sort of pop down for an appointment at the hospital for that, or part of it through with that. Okay.
Yeah. And then the routine offerings on day five. So if they would like to have the newborn blood spot screening done, more commonly known as the heel prick test. I can do that at home. You can do baby weight checks as and when they're needed, if they're needed.
Yeah.
Again, it's very individual. Obviously, we want to know that babies are going in the right direction as well. But it's nice to have that relaxed time to be able to make a plan if we need to.
Yeah.
And kind of without having to think, oh, what do we do next with this?
Yeah.
We can sit down together, make a plan. How do you feel about this? What about if we adapt that?
Yeah.
And then it's kind of make like it more personal.
Make it using the brains tool that we talk about a lot as well. Yeah,
absolutely.
Kind of like doing the benefits and and also the alternative. So it's kind of using that tool, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sitting down with them.
It's just looking at things in a much more holistic way, I think, rather than saying, well, this is this and this is what's in this box, so we must do it.
Yeah.
You can look at mum or baby top to toe and just think, well, actually, everything else is okay.
Yeah.
Maybe we just need to allow a bit of time for this.
Yeah, let's recheck that tomorrow or in 48 hours and have that again, the flexibility of being outside of...
Because, again, you don't want to not act on something that we should be, but also at the same time, everybody is so unique and their bodies all process things and do things at such different rates and stages that you also don't want to act before you need to.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes it is being able to sit back and say, well, you know, it is hard sometimes because I do come from an NHS background and in the back of my little brain it's going, oh, if I was in this, I would be doing this. Yeah. But actually, we can do this because... And then you have a backup plan in place. Well, if anything changes before I come back and visit or before we take the next step, then absolutely we can get a review put in place if it's needed. And
Again, trusting that the body again, isn't it? Trusting that woman and trusting the process. All goes back to that as well.
And I imagine, again, it's flexible based on what individual families want, but how long can your care kind of go on after baby is born?
So I go up to 8 weeks.
Okay, so not the sort of 10 days that you're handing over to your health visitor down the NHS
the,
route.
The free appointments that you get.
Yeah.
So generally, in my general packages, again, they can be individualised, but we generally plan 10 appointments over that 6 to 8 week period.
Right.
We know that sometimes that's going to change and we might need more.
Hmm.
We know that sometimes it might be a bit less. And again, it just depends on individual circumstances at the time. We might do quite a few in those first couple of weeks and then space the rest out.
Yeah.
We might have a bit of a spaced out fair time and then we hit week three and then all of a sudden some feeding issues crop up.
Yeah.
So then we increase the appointment frequency again at that point. Mm. It just is so individual.
Mm.
And so dependent on what the situation is at the time. Mm. But again, having that flexibility to be able to kind of do that is really nice.
Yeah, carry those families just that little bit further.
Yeah,
into them feeling a bit more confident with themselves in their recovery from birth, but also in their new parenthood of this new little human they've got to look after. And
definitely,
especially those first 8 weeks are really tough, aren't they? Let's face it, really tough. So knowing that you're going to come and help them and support them,
familiar face, really happy again. And comfortable with.
Yeah, that's going to really help with their recovery, both mentally and physically, isn't it?
Definitely, and it's so lovely because again, we kind of get the whole family involved.
Mm-hmm.
And we, you know, I quite often do first baby baths with people if they're feeling a bit like, oh, I'm not sure about this.
Yeah.
Which is really nice. I introduce them to some baby massage as well. It's kind of just getting a nice little routine. Routine's the wrong word, but just kind of finding a nice little flow in those first few weeks. Yeah. And then obviously guiding them to other support groups that are out there, like the feeding cafe that are around.
Yeah.
Or just like little mum meetups.
Yeah.
That can be a big thing, like just knowing that you're not the only one going through this. Sometimes you need to hear it from someone else.
Yes, definitely.
Because, you know, I can sit there saying till I'm blue in the face that this is really normal, honest, I promise you, and it will change and it will, it's all good. But actually, when you hear somebody just as in, you know, that newborn tiredness phase that kind of hits after a week or so, and then you're like, zombie state, oh my God, what's going on?
At 3 o'clock in the morning, and feel like you're the only person in the world that could possibly be awake right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. When you're in it, it feels so different to, you know...
When you come out of the other side and you're like, oh.
But it's almost like when you're in it, like you said, you know, blue in the face, saying, is it normal? But sometimes you need that extra person to say, like another mum, and then you feel like,
definitely.
Well, I guess we should also ask, how can they find you? Yeah. So, how can they get in touch? What's the process in terms of that?
My website is.
Yeah, we put all the links in the little like box below here so people can just click on that and get to those. So, if you pass.
Last
weekend.
Yeah. Amazing. I'm on Insta as well, and also by phone.
old school. Yeah.
Yeah. But generally, people tend to come through either the website or Instagram. Yeah. Sometimes Facebook.
Mm-hmm. So a little bit old school Facebook now, isn't it? That's getting old school now, isn't it? But yeah, like Emma said, we'll put all those in the blurb. But yeah, and obviously they can chat with you and talk about their needs and then take it from there, basically.
Thank you so much for coming on. I think we've learned a lot.
I could have chatted to you for hours because it's all so interesting, but thank you for sharing all that with us. It's amazing. Okay.
Thank you for having me.
And me and Emma will chat to you all again soon.
Yeah.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to the East Surrey Bump to Baby podcast today. If you have any topics you'd like us to cover in the upcoming episodes, please do get in touch. You can find me, Becca, at Be Your Own Birth on www.beyourownbirth.co.uk, and you can also find me on Facebook and Instagram.
And you can find me, Emma, at Calm Mama Collective, www.calmmamacollective.co.uk, and on Instagram, I am calmmama_hypnobirthing. We'll see you next time.